Since we last met, the Lord has taken to himself his dear servant, Mr. John Broom, whom we loved here for the truth's sake. Our thoughts and prayers are with dear Jean and the family in their great loss, and it is a loss for Zion. May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 664. What solemn tidings reach our ears, how awful and how grand, a brother landed safe from fears on Canaan's happy land. Hymn 664.
Thank you. as we together from the Word of God, the Gospel according to Luke chapter 13. We will begin to read from verse 11 to the end. The Gospel according to Luke chapter 13, beginning to read from verse 11 to the end. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound lo these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? When he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Then said he, Unto what is the kingdom of God like, and whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. And again he said, Whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west, and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto him, Get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, Go ye, and tell that fox, Behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me till the time come when ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. May the Lord bless that reading of his word of truth to us, and help us to call upon his name in prayer. O Lord, our God, the mighty God, the everlasting God, the God of love and peace to poor needy sinners, we call upon thy great and thy holy name through the person and the merits of thy dearly beloved Son, our acceptance unto thee through his finished work at Calvary. And Lord, we have no other claim upon thee but what Jesus has done for us. We thank thee, Lord, again, that we have been brought safely through the hours, the days of another week now past. Thou hast watched over us. Thou hast preserved us. Thou hast put a wall of fire round about us, the wall of thy love, the wall of thy mercy, the wall of grace. O Lord, we thank thee for these blessings, that we have been kept and brought to this present moment of time, that thou hast been that one to go before us, to lead us, to direct us, to guide us through this barren wilderness here below, also to provide for us spiritually, but also providentially. And we do thank thee, Lord, for these mercies. May we never forget thee, Lord. Thou art ever present and with and near unto thy people. I will be with thee in all places whither thou goest, and keep thee. And oh, we do pray, thank thee, Lord, for that mercy that has been ours. But oh, it is another mercy, Lord, to come to another Lord's day in our pilgrimage journey. Another day that thou hast brought us to. O Lord, we do pray, inflame our poor souls with thy love. Draw our poor hearts out towards thee, Lord, in true worship, devotion to thy name, a desire for thy name, an interest in the blessedness of thy person, and in particular at Calvary, suffering in the Roman place of sinners. O Lord, we do thank thee for the gift of thy dearly beloved Son, and all that grace that was with him. Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he were rich, yet for your sakes became poor, that ye through his poverty might become rich. Lord, we do thank thee for that mercy that came to us, that mercy through thy blood, that mercy that is our only plea for our salvation, that healing balm of thy precious blood to heal and to cure from all sin, from all defilement, to remove all guilt. And Lord, we do thank thee for the blessing, for the token of that love upon our consciences. Help us to serve thee at this time, Lord. Draw near to each one of us, the youngest to the eldest, the babe in arms. We prayerfully commit unto thee, Lord. Let thy rich mercy come unto each one, Lord. And we do pray that we may each have a desire and interest for thyself, particular for thy salvation. Leave us not, Lord, to enter in and out of the doors of thy house in a mechanical way, Lord. Oh, but do put into our poor souls that need of thee. Oh, teach us by thy Spirit, Lord, those things concerning thy salvation. Open up to us, Lord, all the blessedness of redeeming love and mercy at Calvary. Bring us, Lord, humbled and broken in spirit, to thy feet, pleading thy precious blood. Lord, undertake for us. We're poor and needy in and of ourselves. We do need thee, Lord, to come. We do need thee, Lord, to come through thy Spirit to enlarge our poor souls upon thy name, upon the Scriptures of truth, upon thy word, upon thy promises, and Lord, to do us good, to build us up, to edify us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that we might, Lord, know what it is to receive at thy gracious hand this day some token, Lord, some morsel of living bread, Lord, for the gospel poor, for those that hunger and thirst, for those that are so poor, Lord, they look to thee only, that thou wilt come, Lord, and revive and restore and bless us and fill us with thy goodness. Come to us, Lord. We come, Lord, helpless in and of ourselves. And Lord, we have no good to bring before thee, nothing, Lord, that we can bear testimony to, Lord, that is of acceptance to thee. No, but, Lord, all our sin, that is all, Lord, all but all sin. But, oh, we do thank thee, Lord, oh, that seed of heavenly birth, that cries unto thee for mercy, that, Lord, is found in the soul of a poor sinner, longing after Christ, seeking after Christ. O Lord, if thou hast brought us into the land of the living, then, Lord, there will be a yearning and a desire for thee. But we might come into thy house of prayer, Lord, cold, hardened in heart, rebellious, Lord. Oh, do come, Lord. O, do humble us under thy mighty hand. Remove, Lord, from us all that would hinder and distract, and draw our hearts from thee at this time, and reveal thyself to us in the preciousness of thy person. O Lord, as we were driving towards the east and facing the sun that was in the brilliance of the sky, coming to thy house of prayer, oh, we thought of the light whereby we're so blessed, and through that sun, and naturally. And then we think, Lord, of the warmth and the heat of that sun, so needful to us in a natural way. But we were unable to think, Lord, that there is a sun that we need today. We need that sun of righteousness to arise in our poor souls. We need that sun to shine forth into our poor hearts with that gospel light, to inflame our souls upon thy person, to bring us near unto thee, to feel after thee, to know thee, to be that one thing needful to us. And we thought, Lord, of those whom thou didst draw near unto on the Emmaus road, despondent, sad, downcast. And oh, thou didst draw near. Thou hast said thou wilt not leave thy people comfortless, but thou wilt come unto them. And thou didst come unto them and fulfill thy promise. And oh, that thou didst preach unto them. And oh, what a blessed and glorious sermon that must have been, never to be forgotten, Lord. The precious truths of the gospel, preaching and setting forth all those things concerning Christ. And those words, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And then, Lord, that Son of Righteousness did arise with healing in their wings upon their poor souls. They were enlightened, and their poor souls were drawn to that dear man. And then that sun, oh, did not our heart burn within us when he spake to us in the way? Oh Lord, we want to know these things this day. Come and speak unto our souls, Lord. Come and reveal and manifest thyself to us. Reveal and manifest thyself to us, Lord, that we might know and feel that healing from thy wings, that cleansing from all sin and defilement, that blotting out our sins forever, Lord. Oh, we want to feel it, Lord. We want to know it, Lord. We want it confirmed again, Lord. And Lord, if there be any poor sinners here, Lord, oh, may they know that healing balm of thy precious blood to cleanse and to heal from all sin and all defilement. Lord, these things we commit to thee, Lord, that thou wilt come in thy rich mercy to our poor souls. Do unto us the good that thou seest us to stand in need of. We pray thee, Lord. We thank thee then, Lord, that we come into the means of grace. Lord, if it is a burden to anybody to come into the means of grace this day, remove that burden from them, Lord. Oh, may they be brought to feel their need of Thee, Lord. Oh, may they be brought, Lord Jesus, we pray Thee, into the means of grace, and with, Lord, an earnestness upon the Spirit, to seek Thee in Thy love and mercy at Calvary. O Lord, we commit these things to Thee. Come and meet each case and need as it may arise at this time. Undertake for every one of us, Lord, the youngest to the eldest. O Lord, we do pray that our time spent together shall be a profitable time, that Thou wilt not send any one of us, Lord, from the means of grace, unconcerned and empty, Lord, of any good thing, we pray Thee. And so, Lord, draw near to us. Be with Thy gatherings of Thy people in this Thy house of prayer. They come together week by week, Lord. Dwell with them and in the midst according to Thy promise. Hear all the prayers and the petitions that are offered up unto Thee. And, Lord, we pray for a spiritual growth in the souls of Thy people, a flourishing inwardly and towards Christ, that there may be that blessing, Lord, of preparing our hearts for Thyself. And we pray, Lord, also that there may be that prayer, that there may be those gathered into the company of Thy people, into that number which no man can number. Lord, Thou knowest how that we pray for these things. Do, Lord, work graciously in the hearts of each, and draw them, Lord, to Thyself, that they might know Thy great salvation in Jesus. We pray, Lord, for those in afflictions, troubles, trials and difficulties, those unable to attend the means of grace at this time. We pray for those in bereavement and sorrow. And as we, Lord, do know, now the loss of Thy servant has been spoken of. O Lord, we commit the family unto Thee, his wife, children, and the days of sorrowing and the days of mourning. Do be with them, Lord, to comfort them. Draw near to them all their needs, inwardly and spiritually. O Lord, may there be a lifting up of their spirit unto Thee, perhaps just to know, Lord, that he is indeed entered into the presence of his Lord, and for ever to be with him, which is far better. Oh, may there be, Lord, that comfort through the word blessed to them this day in the means of grace. Lord, Thou art able to use the word and Thy sent servants to minister forth Thy gospel grace. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Give them comforts, Lord. Comforts in the word. Comforts in the promises of God. And comforts, Lord, that it shall be well with them that love him. So undertake for them, Lord, and be with them. And Lord, we do pray and thank Thee that there's been yet another little babe born amongst us and into this world, a babe in arms. We commit that dear babe, Lord, unto Thee. Oh, that Thy mercy may rest upon it, Lord. Oh, that Thou wouldest, Lord, in Thy rich grace, be that one, and to follow that dear child in all its path here below. And oh, that there may be gracious blessings that are reserved to be made known unto that babe, even thy salvation. Bless the parents, Lord. May that grace of Jesus come into their poor souls and give them grace to raise up their children in the fear of the Lord. We pray thee. Be with us now, Lord, in the remainder of this service. Help thy servant to speak in thy name the words of this life. Do grant hearing ears to each and every one that are gathered here. We pray that sower and reaper may rejoice together, and thy name have the glory and the praise. We ask these things in and through the name and person of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 758. Sons of God in tribulation, let your eyes the Saviour view. He's the rock of our salvation. He was tried and tempted too, all to succour every tempted burdened son. Hymn 758.
Thank you.
seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, we would seek to draw your attention to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 13, reading together from verse 24 and 25. The Gospel according to Luke chapter 13. We will read together from verse 24 and 25. Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. It was a wonderful moment in the experience of that dear woman that was bowed down for 18 years with that spirit of infirmity. It was truly a set time to favour Zion when the Lord drew near to her. The Lord showed compassion and pity upon her, and the mercy that came to that dear woman was that she was healed from her infirmity. The Lord Jesus laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. It is a wonderful mercy that the Lord will heal us from our sicknesses and from our diseases. But this dear woman had a greater blessing than that, a much greater blessing, for that she is a daughter of Abraham. There isn't any greater blessing than that, dear friends, to any poor, needy soul. She was one of God's children, and that was the blessing. And dear friends, this is the truth that I seek to bring before you in the words of our text. She was a changed woman, a renewed soul. She was one of promise, not Abraham according to the flesh, the seed, but in Isaac shall thy seed be. That was the promise. And she was a redeemed soul. The Lord had gathered her to himself. She belonged to him. She was his child. And I say this, she loved him, yes. He also spake two parables unto the people. He said, unto what is the kingdom of God like, and whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. And again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. We have the grain of mustard seed, which this man took and cast into his garden. It shows to us the pure gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it grew and waxed a great tree. It is the spread of the gospel. It began very small. Jesus began to preach the gospel when he came into this world. There were types and shadows of this gospel preached in the Old Testament dispensation. That's where Abraham's faith was, the seed of the woman. But now Jesus, he has come, and he, the one that preached the words of our text, is that one that began to preach the gospel. Then his disciples, the Holy Spirit coming upon them, the day of Pentecost, becoming apostles, preaching the resurrection of Jesus, and from Jerusalem then to the four corners of the earth, as a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree. Dear friends, that tree is growing today. That tree is growing today. The leaven is rising today. And it shall do till the end of time. Are we found inside of this truth? Is it a part of us? Do we want to be included in it? It is important, isn't it? And this truth, that it is also a picture of the grace of the growth of grace in the soul of a poor sinner. Early beginnings and that growth of grace till salvation come, and then to live upon Christ. Wonderful truth. But this is the truth. Till the end of time. Jesus has spoken to us in this text that there is going to become an end of time in verse 25 that we've read together. We do not know when that time shall be. May the Lord help me to open up the words of our text, and that we may each have an interest, a desire, a concern to be found inside of the words of our text. Verse 24. And then the blessings in verse 25. But there are some solemn truths also in that verse. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Jesus didn't answer him, did he? Didn't answer his question. Sometimes we might feel a little annoyed and grieved, asking direct questions, and we don't get a clear answer, a direct answer. But Jesus was showing this man, and then also, and he said unto them, it was such an important question, and I do not believe that this man that asked this question knew the import of it, what it was to be one of those that would be saved. Yes, there is only a remnant through grace, and we've made mention of it in respect of this dear woman, the seed of the woman that should bruise the serpent's head. Yes, Abraham was blessed that in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. It is that seed of promise. And through Jesus, he is the seed. That is the promise. And oh, to be one of the family of his grace. Are there few that be saved? Yes. It is a narrow way that leadeth unto life. There be but few found in that way. But though it says that there be but few, I pray that it may include all of us that are here. Everyone. So the man wasn't truly answered, but this company of people, this multitude of following the dear Lord Jesus as he was going forth to Jerusalem. And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. Jesus said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. Is Jesus speaking this word to thy soul? It is Jesus that is preaching here. Is he preaching this word into thy soul? He preached unto them. Is he preaching unto you? Something we want to know a little about, isn't it? Surely. Strive to enter in at the strait gate. Jesus is not seeking that any should strive here to enter in at the strait gate without there being a means and a provision whereby they may be enabled to strive. There is an important truth that Jesus is setting forth here. And I can see a little why he didn't answer this man directly. Because these words he would want applied to all those that would hear and receive it. And the words is this. That there may be everyone that were following the Lord Jesus may be blessed with hearing ears. And understanding hearts to hear and to receive this word into their souls. And he is setting forth something that is of far greater importance than just pointing to being a few that be saved. He is pointing to this truth that we bear with us a never dying and an immortal soul. Which must live on forever. It must live forever. But where? Where? Is it going to be with this dear man that is here preaching? And to be with him forever? Or is it going to be the answer that he gave in verse 25? I know you not whence ye are. And this is the import of this word of the preaching of Jesus. He is not leaving us without the blessings whereby to strive. This strive means to agonize. That is the marginal rendering of this word, although it doesn't give it here in this Bible, but it says to agonize, strive to agonize. To enter in at the strait gate. Jesus is the gate, is the door. John 10. describes the dear Lord Jesus as that one who is the door into the sheepfold, and Jesus is the door. But he also says in that word, this truth, in the beginning of chapter 10, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Dear friends, there is no other way but Jesus. No other way into the sheepfold. Dear friends, to climb up some other way. You know, everything that will come by way of salvation to a poor sinner, it must come from heaven, dear friends. Divinely so, divinely appointed, it must come from heaven. Not any works of our own, dear friends. Why, it would corrupt salvation, wouldn't it? It would corrupt the cross. It would corrupt the precious blood of Jesus. No, that cannot be. It must come from heaven. And these are the things I want to speak of. So that there shall not be a climbing up some other way. Never be left to our own thought and the devices of our heart in respect of the things concerning salvation and the way of salvation. It isn't in ourselves. It isn't in carnal nature. Not at all. There's an emphasis upon this word, strive. In another place he says, enter ye in at the strait gate. But it seems to be here a little stronger in the language and in the way that the dear Lord Jesus is opening up that truth. Enter ye in at the strait gate. Strive to enter in at the strait gate. Why? There are difficulties. There will be struggles. It will be a hard way. It won't be a comfortable path. There will be stumbling blocks. Oh, there will, dear friends, if we take up our cross to follow Jesus. Yes. It will not be a comfortable path. And you will meet with opposition. You will meet, dear friends, with that great enemy of souls. There is no doubt about that. He will be ready to resist thee. He will be ready to stop thee in thy path. If thy heart is toward Jesus, dear friends, he hates to see a poor sinner coming to Jesus. Oh, dear friends, that hatred. And he is so malicious. He careth not, dear friends, of what he might do as a roaring lion to devour. There will be a striving. We will meet with opposition. You see, the flesh will not like the way. No. It will never be a comfortable way for the flesh. Because, dear friends, when grace comes to the soul of a poor sinner, that poor sinner will be brought to give up everything. To count everything but loss, that Christ might be gained. No, the flesh will dislike the way, It is only the Lord, the Holy Spirit, that will overcome that. Yes. It's by desires and affection, concern in the soul, an affliction in the soul, a trouble in the soul over sin. That is what this striving is truly about. Striving over sin. Sin that belongs to us by nature. The sin and the transgression of Adam that is found in every living soul born into this world. We're part of his posterity. And dear friends, at the moment we're born into this world, sin hangs about us. And it is that sin that Christ came to put away at Calvary. Strive. Strive. And ask each and every one here. The Lord Jesus is preaching this word. And I stand forth in his name to strive. Strive. To enter in at the straight gate, the narrow gate. This striving, then I do believe that the Lord has given to us wonderful provision whereby we might strive to enter in. And the first I name is this. We have the means of grace and the ordinances of his house. And in the ordinances of his house, we have the preaching of the gospel. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. It is with an urge, a fervency, a need upon the Spirit, agonizing, begging, beseeching, seeking, you see, an earnestness, the one thing needful, our never dying and immortal souls, you see, the one thing most precious. What if he should gain the whole world and lose your own soul? What shall a man gain if to have the whole world in possession and to lose their own soul? No. This is the truth. It is that one thing precious to each and every one of us. Our souls. Nothing more precious than that. The means of grace. Friends, that the Lord will come and open our hearts as the word is preached. Remember down by that riverside where prayer was wont to be made, there was a seeker in there, a dear woman in her house. Paul, by the Lord, was sent to preach into that little place. And this truth, he preached salvation into her poor soul. And that salvation was in the person of the dear Lord Jesus. It was there that the Lord opened her heart to hear and to receive the preaching of the gospel. By Paul. It wasn't anything in Paul. No. Nothing in the creature. I said it's all heaven, dear friends. But that word that the Lord gave him to preach through his Spirit. And the Lord opened her poor heart to hear and to receive that word. And I believe there that she was convinced and convicted of her sin, and she was blessed. The means of grace, dear friends, value it. Come to the Lord's house. Seek him where he may be found. He has promised to be the twos and the threes together. It is here that salvation is preached. It is here that the good news of salvation is proclaimed. This is the peace of the gospel. Strive to enter in at the strait gate. Come to the means of grace. Dear friends, it is to seek Jesus for the sake of thy never dying soul, precious to thee. And then we have another blessing that is given to us. We have the scriptures of truth. Do not cease, dear friends, from reading your Bibles. This is where the Lord speaks to us. This is where he reveals his will, his purposes of grace. This is where his mercy is found. The reading of his word. Remember that that Ethiopian eunuch, he went to Jerusalem, he went to worship, but he was returning. I believe that there was some uncertainty in his poor soul. He hadn't received something that his soul needed, that his soul desired. And this truth, he was reading the scriptures. He was exercised, wasn't he? He was burdened. He was troubled in his soul. He didn't know much. He admitted that. But the Lord, the Holy Spirit, had brought him to search the scriptures. And he was found in that most precious place, wasn't he? The 53rd of Isaiah. Well, dear friends, that is the gospel, isn't it? Oh, to have his poor mind fixed upon that word. And then you see, the Lord knew where he was. He wasn't out of the sight of the Lord. He was in a desert place. But the Lord knew where he was, and he sent his servant Philip. And he preached from that verse that he was reading from. The Lamb sent forth to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, he spake not a word, dear friends. And he preached unto him Jesus, the scriptures of truth. Do not cease, dear friends, to take up the word. If we seemingly do not seem to have an appetite for it, ask the Lord about it. He can give an appetite. But how important it is to take up his word. I remember when that the Lord began with me, dear friends. This was the most important thing to my poor soul. This is where Christ is found. This is where his love and mercy is revealed. This is where that way of salvation is shown to us through his cross. You see, and in here, we're shown clearly the way that sin is pardoned through his precious blood. And then there is another way, dear friends. Prayer. Prayer and supplication. If the Lord will trouble our soul in respect of our sin, and I hope he does, because that is what we want. Sin, truly taught by the Holy Spirit, will be brought to be hateful to us, abhorrent. 'Tis so to God. But that publican felt it, didn't he? He couldn't as much as lift up his eyes to heaven, smiting upon his breast. You see, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Prayer. The throne of grace, the offence is open for poor, needy sinners, the destitute, the sin-sick soul. Yes, the throne of grace is open to such. And dear friends, to be brought there, that earnest desire upon the Spirit that the Lord will reveal and manifest himself to us in that mercy. That mercy, of course, flows through the precious blood of Jesus. God be merciful to me, a sinner. There is no other mercy for a poor sinner than the blood of Jesus. None whatsoever. And that man went to his home justified. The Lord appeared. The Lord pardoned his sin. He could never go home justified otherwise. He was a happy man, dear friends. He was a blessed man. And then, dear friends, we may be in our homes, or there may be godly conversation. Friends, be ready to hear it, wherever we are. You know, the Queen of Sheba was in a far-off place. There was business and commerce conducted between Jerusalem and Sheba, many miles away. But, dear friends, those that were doing the business, the trade, they were speaking of the name of Jesus. Yeah, they were speaking of their God. And it came to the ears of the Queen of Sheba. And dear friends, it began to take effect. Oh, it was that word that found a good place in her heart. She became a good ground hearer. The seed was sown. But dear friends, she couldn't settle. She couldn't rest. No, she had to come to prove Solomon. See Solomon as a type of Christ. You see, a greater than Solomon is here. She came to prove him over the name of the Lord. She'd heard it. Dear friends, be ready to hear. I used to hear the godly conversations. I may have mentioned before, but when I was a younger boy, it's just as if the services of the Lord's house continued once we got back home. Yes, for quite a long time sometimes. But it was those that feared the Lord that spake often one to another. And I heard this godly conversation. I was silent, of course, but I listened. And you know, a sort of a solemnity came upon my spirit. A sort of a fear of the Lord, of the dealings of the Lord with his people, and particularly the pardon of their sins. Let us not despise it, dear friends. Maybe a means that the Lord will use. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. And then the Lord, he hasn't left us without any way and provision in his word to those that become anxious and concerned in respect of our never dying and immortal souls. We have the truth shown to us. I quote Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6 and 7. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. You see, he's preached today. We're living in a day of grace. We're living in the day where the gospel is preached. We're living in the day where sin is recorded as that most solemn truth, where the wrath, the punishment of God is shown to us in respect of all sin, and that God has truly reserved a place for all those who are of the ungodly and the wicked of the earth, a punishment. God is honourable in respect of his righteousness that he has made a punishment for sin. It shows his abhorrence and hatred of it. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. You see, we have here prayer. Let the wicked forsake his way. This is the struggle. To forsake your way. This is the struggle through the strait gate. Difficulty getting through it. The hardship. The stumbling block. Self. Self has to be overcome. Let the wicked forsake his way. Can the wicked forsake their own ways? Can they do it in and of themselves? No. The first word is, seek ye the Lord. Only he can do it. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Dear friends, can you forsake your thoughts? Why, our poor minds are filled with all manner of evil, are they not? All sorts of things found in our hearts by nature, dear friends. And we cannot root it out. Seek ye the Lord, and let him return unto the Lord. Dear friends, that is the only way of return. If the Lord will come, see, seek him. Beg, urge, press thy case. Fervency, earnestness. Thy need is great. But Jesus is merciful. And he will have mercy upon him. He is merciful. You see, the Lord is not leaving us without a means of entering in to this strait gate. What is the other truth that is given to us? Strive to enter in at the strait gate. Isn't it by faith? For by grace are ye saved through faith. Through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Dear friends, it isn't of the creature. God will give this faith, as he will give repentance for sin. But this faith, it is so important, dear friends, because this faith, and the influence of it, and the power of it, it is intended and purposed to draw thy soul to Calvary, to the cross. Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up above the earth, will draw all men unto me. That is the faith. Draw faith. And it is such an important gift. A gift of the Holy Spirit in respect of our salvation. It's apart from salvation. Salvation came by Jesus. But it is that gift, as repentance is, to bring the sinner to the blessing. This faith, remember that it was blessed to the Ethiopian eunuch. When Philip had finished his discourse preaching Jesus, He said, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" You see the effect of the preaching of Philip that entered into his poor soul. "What doth hinder me to be baptized? If thou believest with all thy heart." You see, the gift of faith was given to that dear man as the scriptures were opened up to him. And this is why I say, there's no climbing up any other way, dear friends. All comes from heaven to bring the soul to heaven. And this is the truth. This faith, if thou believest with all thy heart. I just want to say this. It came to my notice again just recently, a few weeks ago, of one that said, "I should have come forward years before." Do you know what he was waiting for, dear friends? He was waiting. Yes, he had come. Yes, his faith was in Jesus and his precious blood. But he thought he had to wait for a word. A personal word. To say that his sins were pardoned. That's what he thought he had to wait for. And he said it was a mistake. You see. This gift of faith. He understood it afterwards. This gift of faith is intended and purposed to bring thy soul to Christ. When you're burdened and troubled under your sin and blessed with repentance, this precious gift of faith will be wrought in the soul. And this faith looks to Jesus only. It looks to his cross. The Ethiopian eunuch cried this. "I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God." He saw and beheld the eternal sonship of Jesus. But also this gracious truth that God sent his dearly beloved Son into this world. And this is the faith that God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth, that is the gift, that is the faith. And it's a faith that will bring us to the sacrifice. It must bring us to the sacrifice. It must bring us to the cross of Jesus. That is where atonement was made for all our sins. I turn to Leviticus and in chapter 1 and this word. They were to take the offering, the comer, the sinner. They were to bring their sacrifice, their offering. And it had to be without blemish and without spot upon it, typifying Christ, a perfect, holy sacrifice for the sins of his people in the perfection of his person. "If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering. And it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him." His faith, dear friends, was in the sacrifice, the offering. which typified the dear Lord Jesus. That is where the comer's faith was fixed, in Jesus. It was an offering for the atonement of sin. I love this word. Perhaps shall I say this hymn? Not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or wash away the stain. There were continual sacrifices, you see, the Old Testament dispensation. But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, takes all our sins away, a sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they. My faith would lay a hand on that dear head of thine. While like a penitent I stand and there confess my sin. Thy faith drawn to Christ at Calvary. Dear friends, to put thy hand upon his dear head, it is faith in the sacrifice, faith in the offering, free love and mercy, faith in the atonement, faith in his precious blood, that infinite precious blood that doth for sin atone. Faith. And that was the faith of the Ethiopian eunuch. And that is the faith that is lead us to the cross. Faith in the atonement. Faith in Jesus the sacrifice. Yes. And he was baptized. And this was the mercy because of his testimony, his faith in the dear Lord Jesus, as the scriptures were opened up to him and preached to him. And he went on his way rejoicing. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. This is the straight gate. The narrow way, it is Jesus, through his cross. The way to God the Father, the way to heaven, the way to the pardon of all our sin, the way to peace in our souls. This is the way. I say unto you, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able, because they do not come in this way. And dear friends, I would not mislead any one of you or deceive any one of you. Jesus is preaching here. It is the words of the Lord. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. All the means and the provision have been given to us. They're all from heaven. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, let us take these words. When once the master of the house is risen up, you know, when those sinners, publicans and harlots came to Jesus, and this is the blessing. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. They came to the gospel table. They came to the physician at that gospel table. Their faith drew them there, dear friends. They'd heard his preaching. The preaching had affected them, had troubled them and burdened them in respect of their sin. It was with the power of the Holy Spirit. They came to Jesus. Faith. They were sick, dear friends. They came to the physician. Only he has that healing balm to cleanse and to heal and to pardon, remove all guilt and defilement. But they came to the gospel table. Jesus will rise up from that gospel table. When once the master of the house is risen up, the day will come when Jesus will rise up. The gospel will be no more preached. There will be no more need of the word. There will be no more need of prayer. And there will be no more need of the fountain of his precious blood. The work is done. The work of grace is complete. The number of the church is full. That great number which no man knoweth. Everyone will be gathered in. When once the master of the house is risen up. And he will rise up. And has shut to the door. Dear friends, when that door is shut, it will never be opened again. Read the parable of the five wise and the five foolish virgins. It was the marriage supper of the Lamb, dear friends. The five wise entered in. They had oil in their lamps. They had the seed of heavenly birth. They had the testimony of Christ. They had the witness within them. Grace in their souls. You see, but the foolish, these are those that climbed up some other way. Oh, I've mentioned it, and there are many climbing up some other way today. It's all in self and the creature. And dear friends, they went away to get oil for their lamps. When they came back, do you know that their faith was such that they expected that door to be opened to them? But it wasn't. That is what their faith expected. They came back. They truly expected the Lord to open the door to them. No. No. It is clear. And hath shut to the door. And you begin to stand without and to knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord. It will be of no avail. No. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. That is what he said in the parable, isn't it? The five wise and the five foolish. I know not whence ye are. Dear friends, I do pray that these words shall never be spoken to thee, to none of you. No. How solemn these words are. Why, to be left outside of the secret of God's love in Jesus, and to be left to an eternity of wrath and damnation. And they believed that the door would be opened up to them. But it will not be so. They could not enter into the marriage supper of the Lamb. Those five wise virgins, dear friends, were those who were espoused to Christ through the gospel. You see, they belong to him. And I pray that it may be also to each and every one here. May the Lord bless his few remarks for his name's sake. Amen.
Last Lord's Day were £700, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Adrian Pickett will preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Stephen Hyde next Lord's Day, and we hope he'll address the Sunday School in the afternoon. Let us close with hymn 621. The carnal mind takes different ways. and different objects she surveys. She's pleased with things that suit her taste, but hates the God of truth and grace. Hymn 621.
Thank you.
Lord, we do pray that those things set forth in that hymn, the solemn things, but then the things of grace, that where sin abounds, at thy grace might much more abound. Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and for ever. Amen.